WWJD is an acronym. Okay, you know, okay, that's fine. I'll explain later. I didn't think anyone would know. But that's good. So I will explain later. I know most of you probably, and all of you, know the story of Jesus when he was a boy up until his ministry began. But these things are good to review and be reminded of the story from time to time. And also for the benefit of any new visitors that may come that have never been here before. I can remember a little over 2 or 3 years ago or so, I was getting a little frustrated trying to put a message together, like a sermonette, words of encouragement together. You see, I thought for myself, what could I possibly say that people that have been in the church for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, what could I possibly tell them that they hadn't heard before? So it was a little frustrating trying to find a message. But so I sought out some advice from a minister, and I explained to him the situation. And his answer was so simple. It was astonishing. It was simple. He said, "Peter, it doesn't matter how long someone has been in the church. However simple your message is, we need to be reminded over and over again." So I thought this was really good advice. So my message today is very basic and simple. So at the age of 12, it is recorded that Jesus attended the festival of the Passover in Jerusalem with his parents and relatives, and as it was their custom from year to year. When the feast ended, and after a day's journey, as they returned to their home, his parents, Mary and Joseph, searched for him amongst the relatives and acquaintances. Much to their dismay and distress, they could not find him amongst the caravan. So they returned to Jerusalem. Can you imagine the concern that they must have been having? 12-year-old boy, missing. 3 days later, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who saw him were amazed at his understanding. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, we've been looking for you. Anxiously looking for you." So I believe at this point was possibly the proof to the scripture in Isaiah that says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways." Things were starting to develop here with Jesus at 12 years old. Jesus was totally occupied, totally preoccupied with interest in spiritual matters. No doubt his own understanding of his identity was well ahead of the insights of his parents. Clearly, he thought that they ought to have known why he was in the temple. Although Joseph and Mary knew much about Jesus, full understanding had not yet dawned. As he replied to his mother, "Why are you looking for me? Do you not know I must be of my Father's business?" And they did not understand the statement he had made to them. And so he went down to them, and they returned home to Nazareth. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Do you think, brethren, that Jesus would have been a model son to his mother and father? I would assume yes. I believe so. At the age of 12, because if he understood scriptures. So obviously he understood the laws to honor your mother and father. In context, the parents who know the laws, know the true God, who fear our loving God, they must be honored. He probably helped his parents around the house. As the scripture says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So he probably learned those scriptures as well. And we know he willingly kept the holy days. So, yeah, I would say he was probably a model son, no doubt. But getting back to that statement that Jesus said at the young age of 12, do you not know I must be about my Father's business? It is a very powerful statement. It speaks to us as followers of Christ. And this is the title of this message. Do you not know we must be about our Father's business? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are the rules God has laid out for us. There are physical laws meant to enrich us physically, and there are laws regarding our conduct towards our Father and to each other. To many, many devout readers of scriptures, millions of them throughout the world, the scriptures have had a very positive effect on their lives. The very next scripture in John 14:16, Jesus says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know it. Correction. For it dwells with you, and it will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, and I will come to you. All these scriptures I have read in sequence must go hand in hand. Millions of so-called devout Christians know many of the teachings, and these teachings have enriched their lives. Most of them are better people than myself, but they justify not keeping some of these commandments, such as the Sabbath and the holy days. They justify. The key here, brethren, is the next verse. It says, the Father will send you another helper. The Spirit of truth will abide in you. If you would justify not keeping some of the commandments, do you think God would still allow the Spirit of truth to abide in you? If you justify not keeping the Sabbath or the holy days? That's a good question. Because Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, the commandments of God. That is the lawlessness. Does this sound familiar in the mainstream Christianity? I'm not knocking them. There's a lot of very good people mainstream, but they don't have that Spirit of truth. They say, we spoke of you, we did many things in your name. The Spirit of truth is a gift, brethren, to those who are willing to keep the commandments. They are conditions to receiving God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. I won't go into details of those conditions, but you can think and meditate and pray on that for God to reveal those things to you. I will leave you with a hint No, which goes back to my original question. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Yes? Yes? That's it? We're on the same track. What would Jesus do? An acronym is when there is a question or a situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? You can apply it on any way, in any situation. If you willingly keep his commandments and beg and plead God for guidance and discernment through his Holy Spirit in your daily lives, you will find the answers. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Do this, brethren, keep God's commandments, love one another, study his word, and don't quench God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Do all of these things, and you also will be about your Father's business."